program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time. That's where we're coming from. And it's Tuesday, Election Day, November 8, 2022. For those of you, we've already told you about the 2022 Red Pill Fall Expo going on this weekend at the Salt Palace Convention Center. And if you link up on our website and your email blast, which we just told you about, you can register for the event and use the term Power Hour code for 10% off. That's what works, right? And so, you know, we got to talk about, we thought we only had a red pill. Now we have two red pills. Believe it or not, I got two red pills. For those of you that are going to watch this on, Rumble and Brighteon, we have Jen and Sophie who are friends and they call themselves two red pills because they despise corruption, fight evil and defend freedom. Except I don't see either one of them wearing a cape, but they're. Their deep love of freedom, God, and truth has motivated these Utah moms to help stop the tyranny that was encroaching on their rights. In fact, Jen and Sophie helped overturn Salt Lake's mask mandate, reversed illegal public records fees, hosted national figures at several sold-out election integrity events, and have filed a lawsuit to protect Utah's election data, which has become a template for the nation while bringing frequent opposition from top government officials. Their website, TwoRedPills.org. Go there. I'm following you right now on Truth Social. Please, I hope you guys don't, or ladies don't think I'm stalking you, but I'm on Truth Social too, Power Hour host. So you probably got notification. I just signed up and I'm following you now. I'm watching. Do the old Robert De Niro thing right here? Yeah, okay. So your mic is muted, it looks like. See, we got there. Now I heard you. I heard something going on here. Got some loose microphones going on. I don't know. Maybe it might be Skype, too. You never know. So, Sophie and Jen, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is quite a feat you ladies have done here. This whole list, this laundry list of stuff that I just read off on the bio is phenomenal. How did the two of you manage to pull all that off? I mean, obviously you had help, right?
Well, actually, we are just two concerned citizens. We don't belong to a group. We never will. And, you know, honestly, the most simple answer to this in all truth is we know how to pray and get an answer. We consult God. We ask him, what do you want to do? And we get these ideas and we run with them. And sometimes we're like, what in the world is going to happen? But, you know, so far it's all been pretty successful and we credit him for that.
Well, so you know about the Evan McMuffin and the Mike Lee scenario going on right now. I think Mike Lee's going to pull this off because basically, I mean, when you're talking about Evan McMuffin, you're talking about the wolf in sheep's clothing here, because a lot of these Democrats are running as independents in Utah. And I'm just hoping that Lee stays right where he is, because I think, you know, it's not with them. I don't think it's a matter of lesser two evils, but I want to get your take on it. What do you think?
To be completely honest, of course we support Mike Lee and we voted for him over McMullen. But Jen and I think the vast majority of Utahns that are true conservatives, constitutionalists, we would love to see
Did we lose her?
No, I hope not. I think we got a frozen screen somewhere out in there in cyberland here. Oh, I hope we're not being censored, Jen. Jen, are we being censored? Sophie's mic is not working for some reason. She's in like frozen land. She's trying to talk, but it's not coming through.
Okay, so I think what she's trying to say is the fact that we're not, we do support Mike Lee, but we are disappointed that he hasn't stepped up as much as he needs to.
So now you kind of, you, the two of you remind me of like Iowa Mama Bears. You've seen Iowa Mama Bears, except you don't strike me as the type that would show up at a school board meeting wearing a transgender stripper outfit, you know, which she did. And so I kind of, you know, you strike me as somebody that's a little bit more spiritually oriented.
Yeah.
I know. So Sophie may have to rejoin us on Skype here and dial us back in.
Can you mute her maybe, and they can ask her to join again?
Yeah, I think our board op can do that, because this is just, it's not coming through as we'd like to. He says he's working on it, or Sophie says, network is working on it here. The situation with the tyranny. I mean, I agree, and I've told everybody that is voting that they have a right. If they vote, then they can complain. If they don't vote, you can't complain. Because, see, your whole logic behind voting is, look, I cast a vote for you, and if you're supposed to do what I want, what we the people want, and I represent we the people, here's my laundry list. And all of our callers have been reflecting the same thing. So, I mean, you've done, I'm looking at this entire slate of stuff that you've done. I would think that you would be able to go out and, I mean, with everything that you've done here, is influence Mike Lee to do the right thing.
You know, we were hoping to do that, but it gets challenging here in Utah. Utah is the number two corrupt state, according to Best Life in 2021.
Really?
Virginia was first. They looked at a myriad of factors, you know, medical, corruption, swamp scores, all of the above. And it was very interesting that, again, Utah is number two. And here's the sad part. If you look at other factors that weren't taken into that consideration, I dare say we might actually be number one. We have so much United Nations infiltration here. We have the federal government owns almost 70% of the land across the state. We are infiltrated by I don't even know the private parties, you know, the NGOs that run in other states. We are the test state in so many things, with digital IDs, smart cities, ranked choice voting. We were one of the founding members of ERIC, the electronic registration database that's caused all the problems. So it's kind of been a pattern here for a really long time, since at least 1975. So the problem when we go back to Mike Lee is, yes, he has stood up for us in certain ways, but it's not enough. We need people like Representative Phil Lyman, who will be speaking with us at the expo, he is the only one who stood up for the people and election integrity. And the rumor is, and we've heard this from several firsthand accounts, that Governor Cox, who ran his own election in 2020, thanks to a Utah law that gave him power to do so in a state of emergency back in 2013, the timing is suspect and very convenient for him. He threatened people in a closed door session in the legislatures that said, if you ask any questions, I'll basically ruin your career. And Phil Lyman was the only representative who stood up and said, I don't care. We're not going to lose our republic for this. The rest of them have kind of gone silent and quiet. And that's what we were hoping Mike Lee would have been, one of the ones who stood up, and we just weren't seeing it enough.
Well, what do you think when all these politicians in the media use the D word? they say democracy, democracy, democracy. I heard one person last night say constitutional republic during interviews on mainstream media, and that was Blake Masters out of Arizona. And when he said constitutional republic, I literally started applauding in my seat. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You see, I can scream at the TV.
Yeah, you know, I thought when you said the D word, you were talking about delusion. And I think that works just the same. I mean, we are kind of under the delusion we have a democracy at this point in so many ways. These people have infiltrated at the highest level. And once you get control of the elections, I don't know that's anything you can do except for, you know, it's a downward spiral at that point. But, I mean, obviously we're not giving up, and we can't. We're not too far gone yet. But I think the line's kind of been drawn where people don't have the luxury of staying lukewarm anymore, right? We know that God wishes you were hot or cold, because if you're in the middle, he's going to spit you out. There's no use for people who stay in the middle at this point in time.
Yep, something like that. And so, you know, the biggest problem I've got, and we've got Sophie back on the phone with us, and the reason that I'm getting a little interference on my end, I have this – I have this German Shepherd that you can, I don't know if you can see her right now, but she's into heavy petting. So she's in my lap. Her name is Sophie. So as soon as I said Sophie, she got the cue. Oh, it's time to go talk to Dave. Okay. So she likes to stick her head in my lap and demand attention during the show. So anyway, aside from that, the situation is such that, and I'd never even imagined that Utah would be that corrupt. I mean, doesn't the Mormon influence in Utah still exist?
Well,
folks are supposed to be wholesome, right?
Well, and they are. It's the nicest people you'll meet on the planet.
Yeah.
The problem is that the leaders tell them to follow their leaders. And what that does is it makes people, it kind of trains them to not ask questions and think critically. In other words, I mean, David L. McKay, who was one of the Mormon prophets back in, I don't know, like the 1970s, he actually called the LDS a sleeping and apathetic people. Even back then, in other words, and that's kind of what's happened is when you're taught repeatedly to just follow your leaders and they can't lead you astray, it's a recipe for disaster, you know, decades down the line. And I think that's what we're seeing is a result of that sleeping.
Wow, that's amazing. And so, you know, basically Mike Lee was the lesser of two evils. And so he's got to rise up and do what's necessary. So we seem to have a lot of lesser of two evils. We got that going on in Pennsylvania right now. Georgia, this is just crazy. I mean, to know that George Soros was the biggest donor to the midterm elections is scary in of itself. But then to hear what's going on in Utah, I thought what was going on in Iowa was bad. But, you know, something that I would consider, and I've been to Salt Lake, a majority of, I mean, it's a beautiful city. And I know you don't have the homeless problem there and the drug problem, do you? You have the migrant immigration problems there?
It's starting to get more prevalent. But very interestingly enough, George Soros owns a home here in Utah. And that his assistant lives here in Davis County, which is not too far from one of his assistants lives not too far from the Capitol. So that may explain a lot of things here.
Wow. Okay. Now that we've got Sophie back, what's your take on all of this? You chime in with Jen on this?
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because the entire country looks at Utah as this red, conservative, family value state. And what Jen and I have uncovered in the last year, we are certain that Utah, if it's not the number one most corrupt state, it's in the top five for sure in every area. I mean, we have an inland port here. You know, we have this pattern of selected officials instead of elected officials who are appointed into positions, and they serve over and over again because, you know, certain people have to go be ambassadors to China. And so then they have to appoint a new governor or a lieutenant governor. And so these corrupt individuals in Utah have really, really figured it out how to keep corruption going. And the people of Utah, we got to wake up and work really, really hard to fix this.
So what's the balance of voter? I mean, have you looked into that, Jen, as far as the balance of the voters, how many Democrats versus Republicans versus independents and where you're at in all this?
Yeah,
I mean, you would think that the independents would have woke up to McMullen and the fact that he is not what he says he is, and that it's just voting for two more years of the same garbage.
Yeah, and the hard part with that is if you go by the data, and I have some GIS data that I found that showed Utah was the only state between 2012 and 2016 who went completely blue. I mean, if you look at the map, I wish I could show it to you right now. The map is dotted with red across the nation. Everybody's going red, and then the entire state, like even in these little towns in Utah, supposedly is going completely blue. Well, it doesn't match. It doesn't match the people. People say, oh, well, it's people moving from California, but that's a huge mistake because, first of all, I came from California, and I know that the people leaving California are the conservatives. So that's overlaid.
Yeah, that right.
Exactly. It overlays at the exact same time that Spencer Cox, who is now our new governor, even though we have no proof that he actually won the election, but he ran his own election, it came right at the time he was appointed. And so I think it's kind of a propaganda piece telling the state that we are way more Democrat than we are, because I'm telling you, people here are conservative. They're raised conservative. They want to be conservative. You'll find little pockets of liberalism, you know, here and there, but it is not enough to justify what they're reporting for sure.
What are your gas prices like out there? How much a gallon for unleaded average?
You know, Sophie,
from what you've seen.
We're at about like $4.10.
Good night.
Yeah.
See, I don't understand. I mean, maybe you have a better explanation than I do, but why do these liberals want to endorse policies that force them to pay that kind of money at the pump?
Yeah, and to be honest, for the state of Utah, I don't think the Democrats and the Democrats aren't the problem. It's this rhino infestation we have of our state, of these people that they run as Republican, and unfortunately, the apathetic and unawake people of Utah, they just see an R in front of their name, and they automatically give them their vote. And, we have this supposedly Republican governor who is actually ushering in all of this leftist agenda items from Biden into our state. He fought. So we had a transgender bill come before the legislature to not allow biological boys to compete in girls' sports, and the legislator voted they didn't want to allow boys to vote in girls' sports, and our governor vetoed it. He wanted biological boys to be able to compete in girls' sports, and I don't know how you can really say you are representing the people when you go against everything they want for their state.
I just wonder what's going to happen. I mean, we've already had this one issue in Vermont, and I know you're aware of it, where the father, who was a soccer coach, got booted because of the fact he protested that his daughter, who also complained, and she got dealt with and reprimanded because a transgender boy came in the locker room when the four girls were changing. And to me, it's just going to be a matter of time when the entire contingent goes after the transgender in the locker room and beats the living, you know what, out of them. And that starts something that all of a sudden turns into a political bailiwick, because now you've got, you know, the soccer team all in jail for assault, and they're all fighting in court because, hey, you know, he violated our Fourth Amendment rights. I mean, this is what we're dealing with, is constitutional violations here. They are entitled to privacy, and it doesn't matter where, if they feel like their Fourth Amendment rights are being violated. And see, the Iowa Mama Bears have managed to sue the school districts and actually effectuate change. And we've had them on the show and talked to them both about the idea of attacking the bonds, because these school boards may have bonds that we can actually go after. We're talking about performance bonds that you can actually attack and file complaints against. Have you thought about going that route?
Well, actually, that's what's interesting about Utah. And first, I want to say Utah is the only Republican state who had a governor's election where the governor claims to have outperformed Trump by 53,000 votes. We are also the only red state that has universal mail-in balloting. So there's a problem here. So if people say this is how important the vote is, this is what happens. Utah is what happens when you order a governor through the mail. Time magazine called him the only Republican governor who's not afraid to be woke. And so anyway, this is the importance, you know, of the vote that's going on here. And I mean, I don't know. It's horrible to see what happens when these people get in. And this transgender thing, one of the first things Governor Cox did when he came in is he made Pride Month, the first governor in Utah to ever make Pride Month an entire month. You know, he was distraught when this transgender bill didn't pass. And it Sophie really nailed it when she said he's not reflecting the will of the people. So you're asking about the bonds. Utah is very, very insulated. Now, again, Governor Cox has been in. He's a lawyer. He's been in since 2013, and they have beautifully insulated themselves against him. We are not allowed to recall a governor. They now have no term limits. They have stripped the sheriffs in the county of the capital from all power except for working at the jail. They no longer have cars. They can do administrative functions only. We cannot sue anybody who's in the government or any volunteers or anybody who's remotely. And we can't go after bonds. So what do you do when you can't recall? You can't use sheriffs. You can't do all these things. Again, beautifully orchestrated, well-laid, deep plan, in my opinion, of corruption and conspiracy. And this has been laid for a very long time. This isn't new.
There is one possible solution, and that is to contact Sheriff Richard Mack. Is he going to be at the Red Pill Expo? I would have a serious conversation with him about getting that sheriff to understand what his constitutional duties are. That sheriff has the power to stop all of this and to deputize however many people he wants to go in and clean house if the Constitution of the United States and the state of Utah is being violated. So, I mean, this is what's happening in Texas where I'm at. I'm actually the local coordinator for the Texan movement to secede from the United States, because we don't see any of this changing. We see the same garbage going on in D.C. and nothing is ever going to come of it. And I mean, we're all voting for the same insanity. I cannot see how Utahns would want the same insanity year after year after year with no change. I mean, obviously, you see the bigger picture. What do you hope to accomplish at the Red Pill Expo?
Well, we are actually friends with Sheriff Mack, and we communicate quite often. And so he kind of knows what's going on in Utah. And, you know, the true epidemic is cowardice. You know, we have these sheriffs that either they don't understand the oath they took to uphold the Constitution, or they're just afraid of the backlash. But our sheriffs are very aware of the issues that are happening. Jen and I have made it our mission that they are aware, and still we have nothing being done. So that's kind of where we are with that.
He's the chief enforcement officer in the county, which surprises me. And this is why I think that, you know, if you have this conversation with Sheriff Mack, and by the way, tell him I said hello, because I am a member of CSPOA. So, understand I'm all about the constitutional sheriff's movement. I'm all about it. I support it financially as well. So this is one of the reasons why I kind of think that, you know, maybe you need to have a sit down when it comes to Salt Lake and tell him, look,
we have. Good
for you.
He was a sheriff here in Utah. Like he's from here, and he just says, my gosh, it's just a mess. Like he needs people to step up. And what do you do when they can't and they won't, and then they're intimidated? We've had the governor making threats, not just to legislators, but to citizens, including myself, who ask questions. He says, we're playing a very dangerous game. Everyone here is afraid to step up and ask questions. And that's the kind of environment that tells me we need to be asking more questions than ever.
Wow. Well, we are at the break, and good luck to you ladies. I look forward to seeing the results of the Red Pill Expo. Thank you for joining us here in the Power Hour. We will be back with Scott Shara talking about his deceased daughter Grace and how the hospital murdered her after the break. Stay with us.
ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from ThePowerMall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at ThePowerMall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at ThePowerMall.com. That's ThePowerMall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarisp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. J.P. Morgan recently warned investors of an economic hurricane heading our way. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. 800-200-4653.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
It's 34 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Tuesday, November 8th, 2022. It's Election Day. Hopefully you're going to get out and vote today. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And, of course, we're putting on our prayer list Don, whose wife Polly just passed away from COVID. And actually, it was a condition... And it's funny, Don, the husband, did not get any of the jabs. Polly, who obviously believed everything the government told her, went out and got the jabs, the boosters, and everything. And she died of multiple embolisms as her husband, Don, was on his way to the hospital to try to get her out. So we pray, dear God, to help him recover from this process, knowing the truth, because the truth will set you free, Don. We just lift your situation up and thank you for your blessings. And thank you that you're going to get through this grieving process. And we pray for Scott Shara, who is holding on the phone right now to talk to us, and for his daughter, Grace, and for all the amazing things that have happened in spite of the terrible tragedy that him and his entire family has had to put up with, and the hospital systems in murdering his daughter. We lift the situation up and thank you that you put him on the path to righteousness in helping others avoid the same situation. We just pray in the name of your son, Yeshua. Amen. Can I get an amen out there? You know, and here's the thing. As the government now, because obviously the Atlantic magazine is now saying, COVID dictators, plead for amnesty. We want you to just forget about everything. But see, here's the thing. They've lied to us. They lied to us. We the people. They lied. The CDC and everybody else forced all of these hospitals to abide by their protocols. And Scott Shara is back on the phone with us again. Welcome back to the program, sir, and God bless you for everything you're doing, working tirelessly to bring your daughter's story to everyone in the world. You also have now started a nonprofit 501c3 called Our Amazing Grace's Light Shines On, Inc., established to provide grants to individuals, including their family and organizations, who will shine God's light as Grace did. The website is ouramazinggrace.net. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for the very nice introduction also.
And the thing is that I think that for those of you who are just tuning in that don't know the story about your daughter, you had to watch her die on FaceTime. How awful is that? What led up to all of this? I guess one of your daughters was in the room with her when this happened.
So Grace went into the hospital with COVID on October 6th of 2021. She died on October 13th, a week later. But she had low oxygen saturation. That's why we took her to the emergency room. Her oxygen saturation was about 88-89%. So it wasn't all that low, but unfortunately we perceived it as an emergency. And if they would have just done what they said they were going to do, which was give her oxygen and a steroid, Grace would be alive today. And I know that because I went into a different hospital 3 days after Grace died, and they didn't follow the protocol that the NIH dictates. And they saved my life in 24 hours. I was substantially worse off than Grace in a hospital that chose to not buy into the government agenda, saved my life. So what happened with Grace, you know, I'll just give you the high points here and how this happened. So what they did is they started sedating her. And there's no reason for sedation other than they wanted to get Grace on a ventilator, which that's their goal with every COVID patient, because it's about a $300,000 payday if they can convince you to do that. So they sedated her against the package insert, which is the rules they're supposed to follow. So the drug they used was Presidex. The package insert for Presidex says to not use for more than 24 hours or it causes acute respiratory failure. Well, on Grace's death certificate, the first cause of death is acute respiratory failure directly caused by the hospital using that drug for more than 24 hours. When her last day came around, they had her on it for already 4.5 days. And they listed the second cause of death as COVID-19 pneumonia. And nothing could be further from the truth. What they did is they took that Presidex and then added lorazepam, which is an anti-anxiety med, and morphine, all in 29 minutes. And for that to happen, you know, you think, could this be malpractice? And I'm going to tell you, it was not malpractice. And the reason is for that combination to happen, the reason I'm saying it's not malpractice is malpractice has an incidence of negligence. This isn't negligence. This is intentional. Because a doctor had to order those meds. They're contraindicated. It says to not combine those meds on the morphine package insert. He had to order them. The pharmacist for the hospital had to sign off on the order. The alarm had to be overridden because the meds are contraindicated. And the nurse in charge of Grace's care, the last day of her life, had 14 years ICU experience. So there's no way that you could do that to somebody. And then the worst piece of it was, after they did that, Grace started to get cold. My daughter Jessica was in the room with her at this point because I was taken out by an armed guard 3 days earlier. And she called us panicking, saying she felt Grace getting cold. She called us at home on a FaceTime call and said, "Dad, Grace's numbers are dropping like crazy." And you got to consider, literally 11 hours earlier, the doctor was telling us how great of a day Grace had, that we should work on nutrition. It was a complete lie. We knew she had a great day. But what happened was that morning we denied the ventilator pre-authorization request for the fifth time. And that's my suspicion why they decided to take her out. So ultimately, when Jessica called us, we started screaming to the nurses, "Save our daughter." They wouldn't come in the room. They stayed outside in the hallway and hollered back, "She's DNR," which means do not resuscitate. The doctor put an illegal do not resuscitate order on Grace's life. And so we watched her die at 7:27 on FaceTime without any medical staff coming in the room.
No intervention whatsoever. So the thing is, did you, Scott, consider going to law enforcement and filing a criminal complaint against the hospital?
The criminal complaint actually ended up getting some traction after we had a memorial rally for Grace. It caused enough stir in the local city that the assistant district attorney reached out to the police department to do an investigation. And just a couple weeks ago, they said that we didn't have enough evidence.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. Everything you've just told, all they have to do is look at the meds and talk to people who are in the know about contraindication factors. They could have summoned pharmacists from, you know, expert witnesses and people that were all over from all over the country that have knowledge of this, that could have figured that out. I still think that criminal pursuit because of a denial of constitutional rights. Have you tried contacting the federal authorities?
Yes, I contacted the Justice Department for the Americans with Disabilities Act violation. I contacted the state that regulates the agency that regulates hospitals, the agency that regulates doctors, and the Justice Department said they're too busy. The agencies that regulate the hospital and doctors both reviewed the records. And Dave, you went to the website. You see what I've got there. I mean, it's exhaustive.
Oh, yeah.
And
it is.
And I sent them way more than what's on the website. And they both did sham investigations and said the hospital and doctor did no wrong.
I find that hard to believe with so many different protocols that are out there. I mean, they could have given her budesonide, which is something Dr. Richard Bartlett has been advocating for patients that have breathing issues. It is a steroid. I have some of it in case something happens, the unforeseen. It's my emergency backup kit. Dr. Syed Haider got me the prescription for it, in addition to 18 milligram ivermectin pills, fluvoxamine, and other stuff. And, you know, I, through my own sources, have been able to get all the drugs necessary to fight normal infections, and I virtually have my own in-house pharmacy here. But, you know, the thing is that when you're trapped in a hospital situation, much like Don down in Florida, and he fell apart because it was like, come get me out of this hospital. And by the time he got there, or he was getting to the hospital, they called him and said, she's gone. And she had air embolisms that literally exploded in her system, and she bled out. So, it all has to do with the injections and the COVID shot and everything else. I'm even wondering, did you do an autopsy? And I know this is a very bad thing to ask, But everybody always is like, did you do an autopsy? I mean, did she really die of COVID? Was the PCR test phony? I mean, what do we know? Even if she said, well, she tested positive for COVID, how do we know the PCR test wasn't faulty and they just put her on these regimens and said COVID so they could make extra money? How do we know?
Well, of course, I mean, we don't know any of that. But, you know, what I do know and why I'm still fighting is that the public health emergency was just re-upped on October 13th, which is the anniversary of Grace's death. And that has to be re-upped every 90 days by law. It started under President Trump January 27th of 2020. So they're still doing this. And, in fact, we just did our first hospital rescue this last weekend. We had a disabled sister, the sister of a disabled man. He's 44 years old. She got our name because our name is out there and asked if we'd help. And they had already given him three doses of remdesivir. I went to the hospital. I got the paperwork, had him. He could still converse. And so, I mean, he's rebounding slowly but surely. But we literally... we rescued him out. We got him out of that jail after the three doses. You know, thankfully he believed me and saw that this is no good. So they're still doing it. So think about that. 34 months into this, we're the only country in the world using remdesivir. We only have 4.3% of the world's population. And yet we are the only country with over a million deaths. We have 1.1 million hospital deaths because of these protocols. The second country, just so people have context, is India, whose population is four times ours, and they have just over a half a million deaths. So what's the reason? The United States is paying hospitals to literally follow protocols that kill, and they're still doing it. We think everybody's focused on the midterms and everything else. It's not over, and it's never going to be over unless we have Nuremberg 2 trials. And literally, every one of these people involved, you've got to stop them. So it is literally, this man would have died if we didn't get him out of the hospital.
So how did you manage to do it? Did you take them by force?
Well, it's interesting. It's quite a story. You know, I you often wonder, how did I meet all these people? Like, I've met Richard Bartlett, who you mentioned, and several other people. So when I got the call, I started texting and emailing all the people I knew. Richard Bartlett's sister, she does rescue, so I got a hold of her, and she said she emailed me a form. You got to have this form right away, and so I printed that off. Went to the hospital, the sister's the power of attorney, the man could still talk, and I sat and I prayed with him first and just said, I don't know what's going to happen here, but we're trusting. And he just looked in my eyes. He was just a ball on the bed. He's ready to die, and he just said, Scott, please don't leave me. I said, I won't. And so then we had a meeting with the doctor. We gave him the form, told him we don't want any of this, no more. In fact, the nurse came in right after we gave that form. They were going to give him a flu vaccine.
Oh, God.
It's insane. He never got the jab. But he was, you know, everything's on a schedule. This guy has just got three doses of remdesivir, near death. And so she's coming in to give him the flu vaccine. I said, no, we just waived all of that stuff off. So at the end, you know, I brought in ivermectin. There was such a freedom in this hospital, I couldn't believe it. So I brought in my own ivermectin, had my wife come in with it. And then, you know, we started him on the NAC, the ivermectin, right away. We started doing it. And he started to turn around. You could see it. We sat him up in his wheelchair, and we asked the doctor then to come in, because we said we want to be dismissed. The doctor would not come in. He refused to come in the room after we said that to do an evaluation. Right. So then we had to get him released as AMA, against medical advice.
Okay, and
so
we
learned we don't have to sign the form. So we did it without signing the form. We just literally took him out.
Yeah, that was pretty much by force. But they know it's against medical advice, but you saved his life, right? He's doing okay now?
Yeah, I texted him this morning. I'm going to go visit him this afternoon. He had an appointment with his regular doctor that is literally now, and he said he was starting to feel a little bit better today.
Okay, now this doctor he's meeting with obviously is awake and understands exactly what you guys did and how you reversed all of this garbage by putting him on NAC and ivermectin?
Well, we're going to find out. I'm interested to hear when I see him tonight, to hear how did the doctor react to what we did.
I'm hoping he's not following CDC protocols, because if he is, this doctor is going to put him in the same scenario. And, you know, this half the people I know that are dead now is all because they went to their family doctor. Oh, you need to go to the hospital. You're in bad shape. You need to go to the hospital. And I'm just like, no. They're death camps. That's the way I look at them now. I don't even trust modern medicine, Scott. I don't know how you can either. I don't know how you can trust these hospital doctors. To me, you know, you signed it. You took a Hippocratic oath to do no harm. And what are you people doing? I don't understand how these people are allowed to get away with medical murder, which is exactly what I think they did in Grace's case. I know you think that way. You've got all this blind eye. I mean, are we going to be, taking this case to the state legislature when they convene?
Yeah, that's a good challenge. We do have a legal case that's proceeding. I can't give any particulars on that because they don't say anything.
Yeah.
But
I get it.
So we have that proceeding. I have been asked about legislation, and I have consistently thought about it and just said, you know, in Grace's case, for example, the DNR, they violated 7 state statutes. So they don't care about the law. So you can never contract morality. This is a heart issue. So I don't think that we're going to pursue a legislative solution, because, you know, I don't see that as when these elites operate above the law. I don't see that as a fix.
Well, it also has to make me wonder about all of this nonsense with this amnesty and with the misinformation or disinformation that is now coming out from Deborah Birx in her new book, her tell-all, where she basically said the mask mandates and the social distancing and the jab and everything, and the fact that, oh, you get the jab, you won't get COVID. And this woman, Polly, who I just talked about, died of COVID. She got COVID, went to the hospital, and of course, you know, they found out she got all the jabs. Her husband did not. He was against it. He was an anti-vaxxer. He was dead set against it and said, nope, I'm not doing this. I watched this stuff go down in Florida the first time it was happening. I actually drove by one of these public places where people were lined up in cars to get the jab, and then they got to sit there for 30 minutes in front of an EMT to make sure that they weren't going to go into anaphylactic shock. I'm like, this is intentional. Everything they did was intentional, and Grace's case is just another extension of what happens when they get into the hospital and the hospital turns out to be the executioner. To me, this makes no sense. And do you see any kind of a light at the end of the tunnel here?
Well, I just want to comment on the amnesty situation first. You know,
oh, please
amnesty
do.
May have been applicable in the first month, you know, when they sold this on flatten the curve. And, you know, there was a time period that amnesty applied, but it's way beyond that. It's crazy to think that amnesty applies. But, you know, the majority of people are not awake. So then, you know, they buy into that kind of foolishness because it keeps getting repeated by the propaganda machine. And then as far as light at the end of the tunnel, my personal take on this is that we're in God's judgment. And so the light at the end of the tunnel is the same light that's always been, which is our Lord Jesus. And, you know, the end has already been written. We know God wins, but I think we're going to go through some serious times coming up. I think then what's going to happen next, again, this is my personal belief. Don't think that I'm a prophet or anything, but I think that what's going to happen is the same thing that happened with COVID. There's going to be such a fear, and then Satan is going to be able to come in as an angel of light and provide a worldwide security and comfort solution, and the rest of the population is going to get duped. The only ones who are going to make it through are the Christians.
Yeah, the ones that don't buy into this garbage and haven't bought into it since it started. There's a lot of us out there that don't trust the government, frankly. And the thing is, we're not anti-government. we are in favor of a government that does the will of we the people and not the other way around. And so, I mean, it's amazing that we're having this conversation on Election Day. And this is something that, folks, you know, if you're not part of the problem, if you want to be part of the solution, by virtue of going to the polls and voting, you have just cast a ballot in favor of the candidates that of your choice. And then you have the right to call them and say, I voted for you. Here's my laundry list. This is what I need to get done. I think these politicians, because of the fact that these hospitals receive federal funding, I think these politicians need to know from your congressional standpoint, your local politician needs to know exactly what they did to your daughter. And they need to answer for that, because the hospital's getting federal funding. And I think that your congressperson or senator from your state can look into this. And I think they would make a difference. Of course, now, again, until you fully well approach these things and tell them, look, this whole case has fallen on deaf ears everywhere we've gone. We need your help. It is amazing how sometimes, and I've seen this happen even in the simplest of things like Fair Credit Reporting Act cases, where congresspeople actually write to the federal agencies and or the credit bureaus and stop this nonsense from happening. So I'm thinking that maybe it would be a good idea after the elections are over and these people get sworn in and you go and see Senator Ron Johnson. He is on your side, I think, and I think his office needs to get a phone call from you, and I think you need to sit down and have a meetup with him and get to the bottom of this thing and get him to work this, because they're all looking at Fauci, and they're looking at all the protocols and everything they've done and all the federal funding that has gone to these hospitals, and I still think you stand a chance by going to Ron Johnson and actually having this conversation with him.
Well, I sure appreciate the encouragement, Dave. I don't put a lot of faith in any politician. They're, you know, we've been voting for the lesser of two evils for an awful long time.
I understand. I understand your dilemma, and I understand this whole scenario. A lot of people in our listening audience out there think just like you do. We have been talking to Scott Sharup, whose daughter Grace was murdered by the hospital. Of course, they deny having anything to do with it. They did nothing wrong. But yet he got to watch it on FaceTime, which is just the most horrible thing that a father could undergo. And Scott, we continue to pray for you and your family, that you get through this process and you get made whole in some way, shape, or form. Thank you so much for being on the Power Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. Thank you. God bless you. We're out of time for today, folks. God bless you. Please go to the polls and vote. Make a difference. Be part of the solution, not the problem. We will be watching tonight as all of this unfolds. In the meantime, God bless you. And God bless the United States of America.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarasp.
and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.